Okay, today's daf is Ksubis, daf Samach Zayin, and we are on Samach Vav Mabez. We're in the sugyas of Tztaka, and we are going to have a discussion of Nakdimon Ben Gurion, as we are on second to last line, Samach Vav Mabez. So if you remember, the Gemara just spoke about how the story, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai found the daughter of Nakdimon ben Gurion, who was trying to get barley seeds amongst the dung of the animals. Terrible story that she, her father had been so rich and now she's so poor, and he says, what happened? And the Gemara said that she admitted that my father didn't properly do the mitzvah tzedakah, and therefore this is what occurred. As the Gemara says in elsewhere, that the Galgal hachozer ba'olam, people's financial status don't stay forever, and therefore we always have to daven every single day, because who knows what's going to happen. So the Gemara picks up the second to last line on Samach Vav Mabez. V'nakdimon ben Gurion lo avat staka. Is that really true? Nakdimon ben Gurion didn't fulfill the mitzvah of staka? But what do you mean? V'hatanya. The Brisa says, Amro alava Nakdimon ben Gurion. Now the Brisa says about him, k'shay yosemi beisola beis ha-medrash, whenever he went out of his house to the beis ha-medrash, clay melas hayumatzian taktav. They used to put clay melas, they used to put silken clothing under him to walk on. That's fancy clothing. Rashi quotes clay melas on Ksonis Pasim. Clay melas, it's a fancy type of material. Uba'in aniyim, umakaplano sameacharav. And the aniyim used to come and used to leave it for the aniyim. And they were able to take it and get the worm of farnes from it. So what do you mean he didn't do staka? He did tremendous amounts of staka. So how could he not have, why was he punished? So answers the Gemara, two answers. Ibayis ema lechvoda huda avad. Maybe he gave tzedakah, but only for his own personal kavod. Wow, very strong. Let's just do the two answers, and then we'll talk about each one. Ibayis ema kidiboy lelemavelo avad. He gave tzedakah, but he didn't give as much as he could have given. Kida amri inshi lefum gamla shichna. According to the camel put on the load, meaning everything has to be commensurate with one's financial status. The more one has, the more one has to give, and therefore maybe he didn't give as much as he should have given. A couple of points to mention. As number one, all the mafarshim just wonder. We know Nakdimon ben Gurion, the Gemara says in Tainus in the third parak, was one of the three people in history that stopped the sun and the moon and made nature spin around. We know Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That's not mefurish in the Torah, but we learned that from Gzeira Shava with Yehoshua. With Yehoshua, that's mefurish. Shemesh begivon don v'yareach be'emek ayalon, fighting the war. So Yehoshua did it, Moshe did it, and Nakdimon ben Gurion did it. The Gemara in Tainus, which describes the whole third parak of Tainus, is all stories. So this is right there, right? That he promised to support Am Yisrael in the time of a drought, and he got 12 big pits of water, and he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it should rain, so he should be able to pay back the governmental official who he borrowed the water from. And the last day, and it hadn't rained yet, and it hadn't rained yet, and it hadn't rained yet. Finally, it started. He davened, went into the base of Mikdash, and he got it to pouring rain, but the sun had set already. So the person said, "You're still chayiv me the money. It's too late." So he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the sun reappeared. Reappear. That's why he's called Nakdimon. Nakdimon Kadach is a lashon of piercing through. The sun pierced through the clouds, and he was able to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Am Yisrael. So he asked all the mafarshim on this Gemara, lechvoda hu da'avad, or he didn't do properly. He was one of the three people in history that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed nature for. How can we understand that he, who was such a tzaddik, you know, had this terrible punishment? So says Rav Elchanan Wasserman right here in the Kovetz Shiurim. He says maybe we have to understand the secret is two words: Idan Rischa. We know that even if something is not punishable at a normal, regular time, at a time of divine anger, so then even things that usually Hashem would let slide, so to speak, Hashem would say it's okay. But Idan Rischa, you know, we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset. Where does this come from? It comes from the Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara in Menachos in one of the Tzitzis Gemaras, right? The Malachim are talking about Rav Katina. Rav Katina is wearing a type of Tzitzis that is not, wearing a type of Beged that is not Chayiv in Tzitzis. And he's not doing anything wrong. So the Malachim found Rav Katina and they say, "What are you doing?" He says, "What do you mean, what am I doing? I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not wearing a Beged of four corners without Tzitzis. I'm not wearing a Beged that's Chayiv in Tzitzis." So they say to him, "Tzitzis shel tcheles matehei aleha, omer lei, anshitu aasei? Just because I'm a vatel and aasei, I'm not fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, I'm going to be punished for that? Omer lei, Bizman de'ika rischa anshinan. At a time of divine punishment, at a divine anger, so then even things that are usually not held culpable, so you would hear. Says Rabbi Chanan, that's what happened here. There was no greater idan rischa than the Churban Abayis. And that's when Nachman Ben Gurion was living. He was living in the time of Churban Abayis. So therefore, right, kidiboy lemeve, lo avad, he didn't do exactly what he should have done, or he didn't do it perfectly lishma. Usually that wouldn't have been so bad, but at a time of Churban Bayis, the highest level of Eden Rischa, so then that's why he was punished. That's what he quotes that from the Chafetz Chaim. Rabbi Chanan, we know, was the Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim. The Kaddish Bal Chafetz Chaim Amar. I don't know how many times in Kovet Shiurim the Talmidim put together the Kovet Shiurim. Rabbi Chanan did it right of himself. So I don't know how many times they put in the Chafetz Chaim. But here's one of them. Lefi Amavur beGemar Menachas Mem Aleph Beidan Rischa Anshinan Alei Muchach to Beidan Rischa Anshinan Gam Bedaver Sheino Neena Shalav Shalom Beidan Rischa VeOz Haya Bezman Churban Abayis Dein Lecha Beidan Rischa Yoser Mizeh VeYalkein Haya HaOnesh Nora Kolkach. That's why the onesh was so difficult and extreme because of the idan rischa. Good. This gemara is also important for the sugya of lishma by tztaka. The Beis Halevi has a whole drasha about this. We know the mitzvah of tztaka could be fulfilled me'ikar adin even if I don't even know about it. Right? There's a mitzvah called shichacha. It's the only mitzvah you could do only by not realizing you're doing it. Many mitzvahs we could do by realizing it or by not realizing it. Right, I could do any mitzvah. I'm just in my own world, and I'm totally lost. But I get the mitzvah. Right, even mitzvahs ain't shrichas kavana. But there's only one mitzvah that you could fulfill only if you don't realize it, and that's shichacha. If I forget a bundle in the field, and you might say the mitzvah is not going back for the bundle, but still I fulfilled it actually by forgetting it there. So the medrash there in Sefer Dvarim, the Sifri in Dvarim, quotes that it's the same thing. If somebody has money in their pocket and it fell out of their pocket, then an ani found the money. That's shichacha, right? He fulfilled the mitzvah. So, and you fulfill the mitzvah of stanka. So, me'ikar adin, one can fulfill the mitzvah of stanka even without realizing it. But there are certain gemaras, this being at the forefront, of an idea of lishma by stanka. Lishma, to do it l'shem, the mitzvah of a tztaka, right? We see here in the first day, l'chvodo hu da'avad, right? Even if it's l'chvodo. All the achronim ask, but one second, isn't there Gemara in Psachim that says it's okay to give a mitzvah, to give tztaka, even if it's not l'shem shemayim? Remember that Gemara, davches, the Gemara says, if somebody gives tztaka, amanasha yichye bini, amanas that my son lives, amanas this, amanas that, harezet tzadik gomor, says the Gemara. Where tzadik gomor? So how could you say here that it was a problem? So again, you have to come on to the Eden Rischa answer that this was something different. But some of the Achronim here used the opportunity to talk about the idea of Lishma and that Gemara in Psachim on Daf Ches. For example, Tosfos, Rashi and Tosfos discuss there, in Psachim on Daf Ches. Tosfos says, doesn't the Mishnah say in Pirkei Avos, so what do you mean tzadik gomor? So the answer is, says Tosfos, the only problem is when I do it for the schar, and I have the attitude that if I don't get the schar, I'm not interested in doing the mitzvah. Meaning it's totally, I'll be toe al harishonos. Hayne v'ki agam nashim lo tavo lo oso atova shu mitzape toe u mischaret al tzedaka sha'asa. That's terrible. We could do the mitzvah l'shem the schar, but we're doing the mitzvah anyway. Even if we don't get the schar, we're still doing the mitzvah. The only real negative, says Tosfos there in Psachim Daf Ches, is if where I do it and I would regret doing it if I didn't get the schar. But if I'm just doing it for the schar, also that is okay. Rabbi Chanan also relates to this question, and he says, V'im Kain, he starts with a question, Perkama de Psachim Ches, Pirish Rashi, he says, if you do it for the some other schar also, it's not so bad, you're still at Tzadik Gomor. So, Rabbi Chanan tries to figure out why this case is different. But I like to just focus on the Marsha, as I mentioned at the end of the show yesterday. The Marsha right here is a Marsha for the ages. Says the Maharsha, right here, on our daf, Samach Zayin. Says the Maharsha. This is an oft-quoted Maharsha in this sugya. Says the Maharsha, Ve'en lahakshos, aye, what about the mitzvah tztaka? He says, Yeshlomar, what about the Gemara Psachim? Yeshlomar, hai shalo lishmo, lekavod hu garet fei. Doing it l'shem kavod is worse than doing it, amanasha yichye b'ni. Or amanas this, amanas that. doing it for your own covet, that's terrible. And then the Marsha adds his words. V'rabim b'dor hazeh, many in this generation, 300 years ago, rabim b'dor hazeh shemekabsin osher shelohem shelo be'emuna. Many people get their riches today not properly. U'bechilul Hashem, kigzelas oved kochavim, like stealing from a non-Jew. V'acharkach, misnadvim me'osol mamon li'os lehem kavid, b'kol shana. Then they give that to get a kavid. V'laseis lehem birchas mi'sheberach, li'os lehem shem v'tiferes. V'ein zeh el mitzvah haba ba'avera, v'ein le'osher hazeh melach. Vikiyum, Kita Amar Hocha. Says the Marsha, biting words, right? We get money in improper forms and then we want to have our name on a building, right? That is terrible, but it even applies, even was going on, says the Marsha, 300 years ago in his day. So again, this is the end of the Sugya of Nachdimon Ben Gurion, and, well, we'll see a little bit more, but that is the relating to the issue of Melach Mamon Chaser, Melach Mamon Chased, and how we get into this whole discussion, because he spoke about the dowry of the daughter of Nachdimon Ben Gurion. We know that's the sugya that we're talking about. This parak is about dowries, how much the father gives his daughter into the marriage. So that's how we got into the discussion of Nachdimon. Okay, fifth line. Tanya. Amar Rebbe Elazar Bar Tzadok. Ereb Ben Achama. That's a lashon of a shvua. Lashon of a shvua, he should say, oh, I shouldn't see. It's a lashon saki nohar. They said, I should see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the Nechama, Nechama Sion. Im lo re'isiya, sha'isa melaketes sa'or meintel fe'susim ba'ako. I saw her gathering barley between the hoofs of the horses in Akko. Karasiya le'mikrazeh, and I called to her this pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Im lo te'dilach hayafa banashim, tzi'ilach b'ikvei atzon. Go after the sheep. U'ri'i as gedi yosayach. Literally, that means shepherd your kids, gediosayach, but we darshin al tikre gediosayach ela geviosayach. Don't would say you're going to follow the sheep for your goats, but you're going to follow them for your gevia, for your body, meaning to support yourself, to live. Right, and that's what she was going to look for the barley seeds in order just to survive. Again, a very huge change of status between the place where she used to be and he is and her father supporting all of Klal Yisrael during the time of the Churban and where she was right now. Right, well, I think we mentioned a couple of weeks ago when we spoke about Chana, if you look in Shiras Chana, after she has Shmuel, the main content of Shiras Chana is this point. Hashem Morishu Mashir, that statuses in life do not stay. Who's up goes down, who's down goes up, and that's what she says. She was a lowly woman who was barren, who had no kids, and she ended up having Shmuel Hanavi, who ended up being the leader of Klal Yisrael. Her sister, her co-wife, Penina, had 10 kids, and slowly, slowly, she lost all of them. So that's the major content of Shiras Chana, the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, is this point, that life is fickle, and we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, and that's what we have to daven. We have to daven every day. Right, the Gemara in Baba Basra tells us, right, all the stories of Rabbi Bar Chana. One of the stories is that he was on a boat with his friends and they saw an island, so they got off the boat, they swam to the island and they started making themselves comfortable and they started setting up shop and building a tent, and then they were hungry, so they started making supper and they started the barbecue, and all of a sudden there was a rumbling on the island, and all of a sudden there was an earthquake, so they all jumped off and they ran back to their boat and they realized that the island wasn't an island, it was a fish. It was a large fish, and when they started, you know, making the barbecue, that the fish realized what was going on, had sand on it. And he says, Baruch Hashem, the fact that our boat was close, we were able to survive. But what's the message? The message is sometimes we think life, we think we're on dry land, we think we're on terra firma, we think we're on the land, but it turns out that, you know, sometimes life turns over and it turns out that it was a fish. And it wasn't karka, right? So that's what happened to the daughter of Nachdimon Ben Gurion, right? She was on karka, and then the karka turned into a fish, and she had to deal with it. Okay, let's continue now with the Gemara. Amar Rav Shimon Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Right, back to our discussion from the Mishnah yesterday. If you remember, what did we say in the Mishnah yesterday? In terms of the Nihugim of that time, what is written in the Ksuba? So we mentioned, if she brings cash in the dowry, then he writes 50% more. 50% more, because, you know, how much he loves her, that's, it's very usable to him, he can invest it, so it's worth to him 50% more. So if she brings in 1,000, he writes, records in there what he has responsibility for to pay back, In case of death or divorce, 1500. That's by cash. But kalim, we mentioned, because kalim, number one, depreciate over time. Number two, they usually estimate them to be more because it's her wedding. They want to be mechaved her to show that she's bringing in so much stuff. So because of that, they mark it down in the ksuba 25%. So the cash, they mark up 50%, and the kalim, they mark down 25%. So, with that background, let us, and the Mishnah gave a couple of examples on yesterday's daf. So, Amar Rav Shimon bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hechnisa lo zahav. What if she brings in gold? So, what status does gold have? Rashi says, Chatichos zahav. Pieces of gold. So, Shaman oso, Vahariyu kishavyo. So, says the Gemara, you write it down exactly how much she does. You don't add on, and you don't add on 50%, you don't take off 25%, no, you just write it as is. Right? You might say, why as is? Because you might say, they don't mark up gold. Gold is gold. And you can't use gold as currency, so you're not gonna mark it up. Right? So, that is why you just leave it as is. Meisve, is that really true? The Brisa says, Hazav, Hariyuka Kalim, gold is like Kalim. Right, so what does that mean? My love, kekalim shall kesef to pachsi. What does that mean? Zav is like kalim. Right, gold and kalim aren't so common, besides in the Mishkan. Right, but so what kalim is this talking about? Zav is like kalim, so doesn't this mean like silver kalim? That depreciate? And if they depreciate, so then shouldn't they be marked down in the ksuba, like we just described, by all kalim? So lo, kekalim shall zav to lo pachsi. No, maybe it's talking about gold is like gold kalim, which are not used and they don't depreciate. So therefore, that's why they're exactly recorded as they are. Says the Gemara, im kain ki kalav mi boile. So then the Brisa shouldn't say zav is like kalim. It should say zav is like kalav, like it's kalim. Wouldn't that be a better lashon? V'otanya, and also we have a Brisa that says otherwise. Zav hariyuka kalim dinari zav. The Brisa, I'm sorry, Zav, Harika Kalim. Zav is like Kalim. Dinare Zav, golden coins, which is cash, Harika Ksafim. That's like cash, and therefore you mark that up 50%. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Bimakam Shenagu Shalo Lefartan, in a makam where they don't use golden coins as a currency, where they wouldn't exchange it, Shamin Osan Vare Bishavyeyan, then you just write them as they are. Right? You don't mark them up at all like other cash. So, we gotta figure out what the machlokas is, and then we'll be able to ask a question. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Ahai. What is Reb Shimon Gamliel referring to? The Tanakhama had two statements. And then Reb Shimon Gamliel made a comment. So the Tanakhama said, gold is like kalim, golden coins are like ksafim, are like cash. And then Reb Shimon Gamliel says, if they're not used as currency, then they're recorded as is. So Reb Shimon Gamliel Ahai. So Ilema Asefa, is he referring to the second line of the Tanakhama? That the Tanakhama said gold coins are like cash. And Reb Shimon Gamliel says, well, if they're not used as cash, they can't be like cash. So what does the Tanakhama hold then? Michlal the Tanakhama Savra Filibamakam Shinabu Shalola Fartan. Holo Nafki. What's the Tanakhama hold? That even if they're not used as currency, you treat them like currency. And you add on 50% in the ksuba? That's not fair. Holo Nafki. They're not used as currency. So Elolav Aresha. Rather, what must the Reb Shimon ben Gamliel be referring to? The first line of the Tanakhama, where the Tanakhama says gold is like kalim, and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says if it's not used as currency, so then you do not mark it up. V'hachi ka'amar, and this is the machlokas. Zav hariyuka kalim, my kalim shel kesef. Gold is like silver kalim. Right? This is the only way we can understand this machlokas. Silver kalim meaning which depreciate, and therefore you'll mark it down. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, no. Hariyuki dinarim shel zav. B'makam shagur shel lefartan. Question mark. So you see, again, from this price, so what does the Tanakhama say? Gold is treated like silver kalim. And therefore you'd mark it down in the ksuba. So the Gemara says, lo, la'olam ha-seifa. Really, maybe Reb Shimon Gamliel is referring to the seifa. But then we have a problem. The seifa. So what does the Tanakhama hold? Even though it cannot be used as currency, you have to treat it like currency in the ksuba? No. Udenafki al yedei adchak. It could be used, you know, in difficulty, meaning people wouldn't want to accept this money, but, you know, when push comes to shove, they'll accept it. Ubahaka miflagi, and that's the machlokas. Mar savar kivan denafki mishabchin an la. Well, the first tip, Tanakhama holds, since it is used as currency, even though with difficulty, mishabchin an la, so you mark it up in the ksuba. Umar Sabra, Kiva Delonafki, Ela Idea Trak, Lo Mishabchinan La. And the other opinion says, Shem Gamliel says, no, since it's not able to be used except with difficulty, so you don't consider that currency for the laws of what to write in the Ksuba. That is a second, a way to understand the Brisa. Iba Yaseima, a different way to understand the Brisa. Kula Rav Shimon Gamliel, maybe there's Chesiri Machsura, and really it's all Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Chesiri Machsura of Hachik Tani. And there's missing, right? Pashtus, the Chesiri Machsura always means there's some words missing. There are some Achronim that say it means we're lacking in our understanding of it. But this is how they understood it originally. Zahav hariyuka kalim dinari zahav harinkik safim. The Tanakama, which is all one shita. Rav Shimon Gamliel, gold is like golden kalim. I'm sorry, is like kalim. Golden coins are like safim, like money. B'medver mamurim, when can you treat it as currency? B'makam shenahagu lafartan, where it's usable. Ava b'makam shenahagu shalo lafartan, but if not, shamino san v'ariyah b'shav yehen. Divir Rav Shimon Gamliel, if they can't be used as currency, then you just treat them as gold coins and gold, and you write them as is. Sherev Shimon Gamliel Omer b'malkam shenago shalol lefartan shaminosan v'harehein b'shav yehen. So we answered up the brisa. The brisa could be explained not as violating, not as being a stira to the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, which we started off this whole sugya with. But the Gemara says, but 1 minute, we still have the little question from before. Mikal makom kikelam miboyle. Still, the first line was Zav is like Kalim. If that doesn't mean silver, it means gold, it should be Kalav. So Kasha, so the answer is that we don't have a answer to that question. It's not a killer question. That it should have said Kalav instead of Kalim, okay. But it's not a killer question, and therefore we leave it at that. Ibayis Ema, or a different answer to the entire original question. Original question. Remember, what was the original question? We asked that Rabbi Yochanan said, Zav is like Shamanoso, exactly. And the first line of the Brisa said, Zav is like Caleb. So, first answer is Kasha. We don't have an answer. Maybe we're talking about gold chips. We're not talking about a hard slab of gold. That would be measured as is. But gold chips, that could be, that is something that is based on, it's like kalim, it depreciates, and therefore one would be able to write the lower level in the ksuba. Rav Ashi Amar, third answer, bimimala. Maybe we're talking about gold dust. Same idea. Gold dust, which is treated like kalim and not treated like a piece of gold. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, where does the word mimala come from? We know whenever the Gemara talks about the descendants of Eli, it says they come from a family of mimulai. Mimulai means cut down. Cut down the old die young, the gzera, abaya, rabba, all of descendants of Eli. They all have the gzera of dying young, unless they are osek in Torah and gemilas chasid. So here mimala, dust is, the golden dust, is chopped up very, very finely. Period. Amar Yanai, weiter, we continue. Bisamim shel antuchya hari hinkik safim. Antuchya spices are treated like money. Why? This was used like currency. In Antuchya, the spices were very prevalent, and it was used like currency. So that's why you would treat them as currency for what the woman brings into the marriage as well. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yochanan, or Yonasan, gemalim shel arvia isha gova parnamehem. The camels of Arabia, again, very common, a woman would get a profit from them, meaning this is considered currency, and therefore the Ba would have to write 50% more in the Ksuba. Amar of Papi, Hani Tosve, de Bay Mirsi, this types of garments or shirts of Bay Mirsi, Isha Gova Parnamehem, same thing, all of these were very common and therefore used for currency. Amar of Papi, Hani Saki Derudya, Vaashli de Kamunchia, Ki Kam Chonia, right? These sacks of this place and ropes of this other place. Isha Gova Parnamehen. Again, a woman accepts the gets the profit, meaning the husband has to write 50% more. Amar Rava, finishing up. Meiresh Hava Amina. Originally, I thought Hani Arniki de Mechuza Isha Gova Parnamehen. I thought these money belts, these money sacks from Mechuza is considered currency. My Taima Asmach Tayhu Alayu, because the woman has smichus das on those. When she has her ksuba, that's what she focuses on. She has smichus das on that. Kibun da chazoi de shakli luhuvanafki, but once I saw that they're taken, meaning, what is smichas das? Usually smichas das is something associated with karka. That's why karka is called nechasim sheyesh lahem achrayas. There's achrayas, it's always there. So Rava thought that originally these money belt, these money sacks, that's what the woman focused on by the ksuba. And that's why he gave it the status of karka. Kibun da chazoi de shakli luhuvanafki, but once he saw that no, they took it in and out, it moved around. V'chi mishkechi ara zavni behu, and if they could find a piece of land that's even better, I mina asmachtayua arahu. I said, you know what? It must be the smichas das is on the karka, not on the metaltalin, and therefore he did not give that metaltalin the status of karka. Tosas here has two deyos in Dimer Maskel Gemalim, whether the metaltalin really have the status. Halacha lemaisa. Lamaisa Tosfos says, remember what we said a week and a half ago, back on Daf Nun Aleph. Tosfos quoted the Takana of the Gaonim, which was also quoted by the Rif and the Rambam, that even though the Gemara said, Me Iker Adin, Ksuba is collected, Mi Makarkoi Velo Mi Metaltali, Bein L'Ksuba, Bein L'Mazoni, Bein L'Parnasa, that's what the Gemara said, but Tosfos there quoted the Takana of the Gaonim, that Bizman Azeh, women, they're not interested in Karka. Women wants money. Women wants metaltalit. She wants to be able to take it and go. Bizman azes. That's what Tosa said. Bizman azes. The kulu gavi mi metaltali. Ksuva. Umizonos mi takanes a gaonim. Bechulu. That's considered. That's what they have smichas das on. That's what Tosa said back on Daphnun Aleph. So Tosa here says, well, how far does that go? Our Gemara, like what did Rava say? That women were having smichas das on metaltalin. Does that go as far as to say that the metaltalin are considered leaned so that if the metaltalin are sold, they're like mishubadim and the woman would be able to get them back? Tosfos has that suggestion and says, I don't think so. I think it's a special takana derabanan that a woman could collect the metaltalin once she is widowed or divorced, but not that it has the same status as karka. Meaning, if the husband got rid of it before death or divorce, so we don't say that the lekuchos have to return it. That would be going too far. It's a takana, but it's not me'ikir hadin. Okay, let's continue. Says the Mishnah. Hamesias bitostam. So what happens? We spoke about what, how much of the dowry, how it's recorded in the ksuba. But hamesias bitostam. The question is, what if somebody marries the daughter marries stam, marries without? He doesn't specify an amount how much he's going to give to his daughter in the dowry. Lo yifchos lami chamishim zuz. He's got to give at least 50 zuz. At least 50 zuz. That is the minimum. Where does 50 zuz come from? You know what, it's a nice number. Where does 50 zuz come from? So, Pnei Yoshua. Says the Pnei Yoshua. It's the Beferish Mishnah in Peah. The Mishnah at the end of Peah describes how little money does one have in order for one to be able to take Peah. Or any other Matnes Aniyim. So what does the Mishnah say? Nira li li tein tam l'kitz vazu. Ki ahita tan bepeah. Ches tes. Mishi yesh lo chamishim zuz. V'hu no seven notin bohem harizeh lo yito. That's the key. 50 zuz is the level of being in the level of being an ani to an ashir. That's why you don't want her to be an aniya. That's why you gotta give her 50 zuz. Alma d'orcha d'milsa d'stam b'dei adam yicholim l'hisparnis atzman b'mashi yisuv yitnu b'sach hamishim zuz b'lei starach lebrios v'kach yitein lebito v'shir zehu of course ba'anisha b'Yisrael. Right, it's only l'anisha Yisrael, but you know anyone else should be able to give more. But that's the Pnei Yoshua having shas, not only shas Bavli, but having shas mishnayos on his fingertips. That's where the chamishim zuz comes from. So that is where there's no specification given. Patak lachni saruma. What if the father says, you know what, I'm not giving any money to my daughter for clothing? Pachra anisa aruma. Lo yomer habal kshachni sena lebesi acha sena biksusi. Okay, that's fine. When she gets one, when I marry her, so then I'll buy her some clothes. No. If the husband agreed to marry her without the father giving her any money for clothing, he's got to give her before. Ela machaseva ode bebesavia. He's got to send her clothing even before nisuin. Because it's not mechubad for her to leave her father's house without proper clothing. So that is why he has the responsibility to support her even earlier. V'chein hamesias hayisoma. Also, if someone is marrying a yisoma, who? Rashi, gabai tztaka. If the Gabbite Staka is taking care of marrying a Yesoma off, lo yifros lami chamishim zuz, same thing, gotta have at least 50 zuz. Im yesh bekis, if there's more available, mefarnes osolafi kvoda, then you're mefarnes her according to her kavod, based on her status, whatever it is. Fine. Amar Abaya, chamishim zuzay pshiti. Abaya says, the 50 zuz are talking about simple 50 zuz, right? Not the fancy 50 zuz. Mimai, we had this a couple of days ago also. Mimai, the tari seifa. Because look in the seifa of the Mishnah. Yesh bakis befarnos olafi kvoda. Right, the last line of the Mishnah says, this is only the minimum. But if you could do more, then obviously try to do more. The amrina on my kis, amarachava arnaki shal staka. What's kis? What does it mean? What's that talking about? It means, if there's more in the staka box, then give her more. V'islaka daitin, chamishim zuze, mamish. And if you say the 50 zuz that we give as a minimum means super fancy 50 zuz, im yesh bekis, kama yavidun la, then how much are you going to give her? If you say, if there's more available, give her more. Elashvamina chamishim zuze pshite. So it must mean the simple 50 zuz, that is what is meant in the Mishnah. Okay, Tana Rabban. Yasom v'yasoma. So the Gemara here quotes the Tosefta, three lines for the bottom. Yasom v'yasoma shebo lehis parnes. So if Yasom v'yasoma, they both come. The orphan and the orphan boy and the orphan girl both need parnasa. Mefarnes and nesanay soma, v'akach mefarnes and nesanay yasom. First you give the girl. First you give the girl, and then you give the boy. Why? Mepesha ish darko lachzor alapsachim. Ve'enisha darko lachzor. Because it's easier for the man to go and beg and get money elsewhere, but it's harder for the girl. The Tosfos Rid here asks a stira between this Tosefta and the Mishnah and Maseches Harios. The Mishnah Harios tells us, the Tosfos Rid on the bottom says, Ha'ish kodim le'isha lahachios, ulahashav aveda. Right, let's say you have a question about parnasa, a man or a woman, so the man comes first. Why? Because the Gemara says there, because he's chayiv. He's chayiv in mitzvot, he's chayiv in the chulu, other things. So it says the man goes first. Again, we feel bad, we wish we could do both. But if it's a choice, the Mishnah there in Harya says the man comes first. How could our Tosefta say the woman comes first? Says the Tosfos Rid, well, it depends where we're talking about. Are we talking about in a place where there are places to go and beg or not? The Mishnah in Harya is talking about a case where you're in the desert. There's no place around. Somebody's going to live and somebody's not going to live. So that's why you give the man. But in a case where there's enough for both, the question is, who are you going to make it easier for? You make it easier for the girl. Make it easier for the woman. That's what the Tosfos says on the bottom line. Brisa zumairi be'ir, sheyachol ha'yasom lachzor lesbarnes, im lo nita lo mikish al staka, v'yoser gdola boshes ha'isha lachzor mishalish. Umasitza dahasa, the Mishnah there in Harios, Mairi, Bamidbar, Obisvina, Sheina Motzi Lachzar. There's no other place to go. Bimlo Yifarsenu, Yamus, so there, Ha'ish Kodeb. So that's the stira in between Harios and here. We continue this brisa. Yasom Yasoma, Sheboli Nase, if Yasom Yasoma coming to get married. So now marriage, not that was talking about Parnassa and Mizonos. But they come to get married, Masina se Yasoma, Vacha Masina se Yasom. So first you marry off the Yasoma, and then the Yasom. Why? Mebresha Bosha Sa, Shel Isha Maruba Mishalish. The state of being single and not being married is more difficult on a woman than on a man, and therefore the woman goes first. Amazingly, even though the woman is not Mitsuva and Puruvu. Right, you might say, what do you mean? Focus on the mitzvahs. The man has to do with this of Puravu and the woman not. Yes, you're right. There is a rush at the beginning of Ksubis, which we discussed months ago, that talks about you can fill pits of Puravu with a Pilegesh, and therefore you don't have to actually get married, but that's not something that we suggest. But we see this is an example of halacha taking into account certain realities of the differences between men and women separate from the mitzvahs. Separate from the mitzvahs. And here too, the feeling, the busha of the isha, the state that she is in, is going to be more difficult for her, and therefore she's the one that gets married off first. Period. Tana Rabbanan, Yasom Shabalisa. Well, if a Yasom comes to get married, so what does Bezdin do? Sochrin lo bayis. So they used to get married in the house where they were going to live. So first you get the house, umatzian lo mita, and the bed, v'chol klei tashmisha, and all the things that they need, the basic kalim that they need to live with. V'achaka umatzian lo isha. I mean, you get everything ready before. You don't get him married, and then he has to start worrying about where to live. First he has the house, and then he has the bed, and all the kalim, and then masiyin lo isha. Shene'emar, de'machso, and the Marsho even says here, this is like the Gemara in Sota, which describes the Mashuach Vachama. Remember, the three people who could go back for more. First it says, Misha Banabayas, and then Misha Nata Kerem, and then Misha Eres Isha. Because first you have to have the house, and then you have to have the Kerem, the Parnasa, and then you have the wife. Right, so it's the same order the Marsha here points out. Shenemar, but how do you know that here, that Bezdin has to take care of all these needs? De machsoro asher yachsor lo. Talking about stucco, we have to fill in all that he is lacking. And we darshan that pasuk. De machsoro zehabayis. De machsoro, what he's lacking, that means the house. The house that he is going to need. Asher yachsar, zu mita v'sholchan. That's the bed and the table. He's missing that. Lo, zu isha, v'chein hu omer esel lo, ezer kinegdo. So you see, lo is a reference to a wife, and that's why ezer kinegdo. We know a number of achronim, Rav Hirsch, Rav the Netziv, all talks about the phrase of ezer kinegdo, that we all know, the Chazal, that darshes ezer kinegdo is their opposites. Zacha ezer, if he zocha ezer, lo zacha kinegdo. But the Marsha, the Netziv in the Hamak Davar and Rav Hirsch both say no. The best ezer is where there's a little kinegdo. Ezer is connected. You don't marry an exact replica of oneself. That's not how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. But everybody has differences and strengths in different areas, and that's why a husband and wife are supposed to be mashlim each other. One's a little more type this personality, and the other one is type this personality. This one is always cold, this one's always hot. There's a hashlama, there's a complementary element that's supposed to be there. And that's the best Ezer is connected. To either of Hirsch. This time I have the Hebrew. He says, Shaha Ezer Yihya Kinegdo, Lo Imo. It's not Ezer Imo. It's Ezer Kinegdo. Al Yif'al Imo Bimakom Echad, El Yif'al Kinegdo Bimakom Acher. Bishura Achas Mimulo. Ilu Hayaha Ezer Notzar Bidimus Ish. If the woman and the man are exactly the same, Hayimutalas Alav Kol Chovos Ha'ish. They'll have all the same Chesronos. And they'll need an ezer from the outside. Mishum kachu notzer ki isha. Ha'isha omedes betzad ha'ish. Lo imo velo tachtav. Hi poelas kenegdo b'shura achas u'b'nekuda acheres. Kol achad yifol b'tchum ha'miyucha lo. V'kach yashlimu ze es ze. That's the ultimate ezer kenegdo. Right? We know that the tour named his chelek of Shulchan Aruch, of tour, Evan ha'ezer. Evan ha'ezer. Evan ha'ezer is a place in Tanakh, but also he says he names it Evan Ezer because Hashem is a play on words, a couple of, like a double or triple entendre, right? Because it's a play on words that Hashem helped him write the Sefer. Hashem was his rock, Evan HaEzer, but also the entire Evan Ezer is all about women. Halachas of men and women, in terms of halachas of marriage, and gerushin, and chalitza, and yibam, and ksuba, all those halachas are in Evan and Ezer, relating to Ezer Kenegdo. So that's how the tour, right, it is Hakdama, to the tour Evan and Ezer, it's based on that Hashem helped him, and it's also all about the Ezer Kenegdo relationships that he is going to talk about. If you look at the Kashuki Chemed, on De Machsoro, right here, he talks about the age-old question of, if you have $100, 100 shekel, and you could either give $1 to 100 aniyim, or $100 to one ani, which one should one do? Which one is best to do? So he says, tshuva, he says, it's a Beferish Rambam. The Rambam in Pirshim Mishnayis, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, v'hakol lefi rov hama'aseh, everything goes by rov hama'aseh, and the Rambam says there, hama'alos, lo yagiu la'adam lefi rov godel hama'aseh, ela lefi rov mispar hama'asim. This is a Rambam that should be famous. I'm trying to make it famous right now. The Rambam says, the greatness of mitzvahs is not within the act, but it's the number of acts. V'hamashal, the Rambam says, kishiyitin adam lemisha ra'ui, elef zehuvim bevas achas, u'le'ish acher lo nasan klum, el'yase biyado, bindas hanedivas, kemoshe magia, lemisha isnadev. Okay, you did something great by giving 1,000 to 1, but elef zehuvim be'elef pa'amim, Ze'inyan lefi rov ha'ma'ase. And therefore, l'chora, says the Rambam, says the Chashuk Echemet, Yishlomo misham l'inyanenu, the Yishlivkar b'efsharas ha'rishona, l'chalek l'harbe aniyim s'chumim mu'atim, v'ze'odif odif milaseis l'ma'at aniyim s'chumim gedolim. But then he says, but I'm not so sure. Because it could be that that's all talking about where everyone has equal needs. Everyone's in the exact same state, so it's better to give them equally. But what if somebody has larger needs than someone else? So then maybe you can't just split it. Adai lo shamanu. Shedaito kein gam ba'ofan shem mitzukas chamishim ha'aniyim higedol yoser me ha'aniyim acherim. If there are different needs, maybe you have to take that into account also. And therefore, he says, I asked my father-in-law, Rav Yashiv, V'yomar, Shemeachar v'chol ameya heim aniyim, ulakula magi yitztaka, ein tam lasis rak le'ela shem aniyim b'yoser. He says, if they're all aniyim, they all have less than 50 zuz, based on the Mishnah in Peah, so give them equally, even though some have more, some have less. One could still be okay, as long as they're all under the threshold. They're all halachically called it ani, that is all that one needs, and then one could give the tztaka. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Here we go. Staka sugyas. Dei machsoro. Ata mitzuva alav lafarnesovi, ata mitzuva alav laashro. You are mitzuva to be mefarnes in ani, but you're not mitzuva to make the ani rich. You don't have to give him beyond. Asher yachzer lo, but if he was missing something, afilu sus lerkov alav eved laruts lafanav. If he's used to having a horse to ride on, or an eved laruts lafanav, you have to get that too. Right, the Shibu Kubet says here what? Says forever? I never had a horse in my life, so this ani needs a horse? Forever and ever. So the Shita of Megibletzes quotes the Gaonim, a very mistaver limitation. He said, the Gaonim say, no, he only requires this as long as people still don't know yet that he has lost his wealth, and they still think that he's who he was. But right when they realize he's lost his investments, and he's in a different state, that it's not as embarrassing for him, because they realize, you know, what state he's in. Right, forever and ever, he's going to have to, but that's the Shita's limit. Amrol of Hillel Zakein, they say about Hillel, Shalakach Lani Ben Tovim Echad. He took an ani. He used to be very rich. Sus. He got him a horse. Lirkov Alav. Veved Laris Lafanav. He got him a horse and an Eved, because that's exactly what this ani was used to. Pamachas Lomasa Eved Laris Lafanav. Veras Lafanav Shlosha Mila. One time he couldn't find an Eved to run in front of him, and therefore Hillel himself ran 3 milim in front of this ani. Ask all the Achronim. There's a concept of covenant Torah. So fine. A Rav can be mochel on his covet, right? We know the Gemara in Kiddushin. Rav shemochel kvodo machel. Melech shemochel kvodo ain't kvodo machel. A melech can be mochel on his covet, while a Rav can. But still, the Achronim say, zilzul, if you're bizayin a Torah, that a Talmud Chacham doesn't have the right to do either. Fine, he can be mochel on his covet, but to be mevaza himself, that's a bizayin a Torah. So that he can't do. So what was Hillel doing here? What was Hillel doing here? So there are many different answers given by the Achronim. One could say, one is, well, they knew Hillel was different. They know Hillel was this type of person who, like, would lower himself totally, right? People would get angry at him, like we know from Shabbos Laman Aleph, and scream and try to ask him shilas while he's taking a shower 4 times an Erev Shabbos. So they knew Hillel was different, right? So maybe that's the one idea. Number one. Number two, maybe this story happened before Hillel became Hillel. Right, before Hillel became Hillel, right? This story happened earlier in his life. Like we know from he was very poor, he was on top of the base medrash in the Gemara in Yuma, trying to hear the Torah. Maybe it happened before he became Hillel. Right? Other answers given, maybe the Ben Yoyada says maybe he changed his lavush and nobody realized who he was. Right, various answers given, but the yesod is that a Talmud Chacham can't be mezalzel himself. Right, the Gemara in Shabbos, the person, the Talmud Chacham has a stain on his shirt. He might say, oh yeah, I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody. Right, the Gemara says, if a Talmud Chacham with a revav al bigdo chayiv misa. So what does that mean? Like we've said in the past, right, a Talmud Chacham can't take himself so seriously, but he has to take his position seriously. And therefore, that's the assumption of this Gemara, and therefore they have to come up with answers how Hillel wasn't really mevaza his position. Tana Rabbanan, last skinny line. Maisa banshi galil ha'elyon, shalakula ani ben tovim echan misipori, litra basar b'chol yom. So the people of Galil Elyon, they got him a nice piece of meat. Litra basar my rabuso. What's the big chiddush? That's not so much. So Amar afuna litra basar mishalofos. Oh, no, a special type of a fowl. Right, and that's why it was a special meat. Vibayasema litra basar mamish, maybe it means the weight. The litra is the weight. And therefore it was a lot of meat. Ravashi Omar, Hasam Kvar Katan Haya, Bechol Yoma, Havi Mafsidi Chiyusa Am Tulte. The problem was when they shechted and they wanted to give him this, a piece of this bird, they didn't have a lot of other people in the town to buy the rest of it. So they did it even though the rest of the bird was going to go to waste. It wasn't going to be able to be sold. They didn't have refrigeration. So, you know, that's the chiddush, that you had to do this even if it causes a loss by the rest of the animal. Somebody came in front of Reb Nechemya, an ani. And Reb Nechemya says, "No, what do you normally have for lunch?" I'm a very fancy guy. I usually have fatty meat and old wine. So Reb Nechemya says, "Well, I don't have much. You want some lentils? That's all I have." Gilgalim is like, "Okay, badashim vames," and then the ani died. Whoa. Omar Reb Nechemya says, "Oy lo lazeh, Shahargo Nechemya, woe to this guy. Shahargo Nechemya, Nechemya killed him." Says the Gemara, "Adarabba, oy lo Nechemya, Shahargo lazeh mi bohele." He shouldn't say woe to the guy, he should say woe to Nechemya. Look what Reb Nechemya did. So the Gemara says, "No, that wasn't his fault. Ela iu hu deloi bohele lefenuke nafshe kulehai." No, he shouldn't have done this to himself. Meaning there's a certain level of, okay, you're used to it, but it doesn't mean that this is the only thing that your body could ever have. And there was no way that Reb Nechemya had to be mawa that in his das, that this was going to happen. And that's what the Gemara is saying, such a surprise idea that a person has to realize that they can't be mefanek themselves so much that they can't be used to at all surviving in any other environment. Same thing. I usually have great food. Right, fat chickens and old wine. Amarlei v'lo chayashto ladoka detzibura. You're throwing yourself. You're asking for that from the tzedakah box. Don't you realize you're throwing yourself onto the tzibur? Amarlei atu midetuka achilna midrachmana achilna. I don't know about you, Rava, but I don't rely on the tzibur. I rely on Hashem. Meaning Hashem's taking care of me. Did Tanina enechal adacha isa beiru biatanosin lemezachlam biito. We say it in Ashrei. You give them. You Hashem give them everybody's food. Biito in its time, singular. Biitam lo nomar ela biito. Melamechik olechad ve'echanosin Hakadosh Baruch Hu parnasaso biito. Hashem gives the parnasa in each and every person's time. The Pnei Yeshua here says, "What's the diuk? It's this change of lashon. Achlam is plural. Achlam biito. We ever think about that? We've said Ashrei a million times." Achlam biito. Achlam, says the Pnei Yeshua, the whole tzibur. Hashem gives the whole tzibur what it needs, but the people in the tzibur have to make sure that everybody in the tzibur has what they need. That's biito. Achlam biito. There's enough there. It's just the people who have the wherewithal has to make sure that it's divvied up properly. Achlam biito. That's what this ani tells Rava. Adahachi, meanwhile, while they're having this conversation, Asoy Achte de Rava to Lochazule Tlesa Shani. Rava's sister walks into the Beis Din, who hadn't seen in 13 years. Va'as Yale, and guess what she brings with her? Tarnagolas Petuma Vayahin Yashan. Exactly what the Ani was asking for. Omar, my Dakama. Rava says, what's going on here? What are you doing here? And you Dafka brought what I needed? He turns to the Ani and says, Amar Leina Nesi Lecha Kumachol. It must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to have this, so please come and take this. Because he realizes something unusual. He realizes it must be something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Good. Tanu Rabbanon. Ein lo vein arosilis parnes. What if you have an Ani that doesn't want to take any tzedakah? Ain't low. He doesn't want to take tzedakah. Nosan l'shem avas. You trick him. You give it to him as a loan. You try to say, "Yeah, you'll pay me. Pay us back." V'chozim nosan l'shem matana. And then you like don't accept the money. You like treat it as a gift. Divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim no. Nosan l'shem matana. V'chozim nosan l'shem halva. Right. You give it to him as a matana. Then you change it to a halva. Says the Gemara. What? L'shem matana halo shaka. What do you mean? He's not taking it. You can't give it to him l'shem matana. Amar Rava liftoach lo l'shem matana. You should try to convince him. You know, everybody's in the States sometimes. You know, it's okay. Just take it. You'll get out of it soon. So yesh lo vein, that's one case where he does not have it. He doesn't want to take. Yesh lo vein arosilis parnes. What if he has plenty? But he's a miser. He doesn't want to use any of his money. And therefore, he's like trying to get stuff from the tzibur, even though he has stuff in his bank accounts. Nosan lo l'shem matana v'chozev nifra mimenu. You could say you don't want him to die, so give it to him and then pay him back, and then take it back from him. Nifra mimenu. Chozev nifra mimenu sulo shakel. What do you mean? You take it back from him, but he's not going to give. Amar apapa la'achar misa. You get it back. It might be from him, it might be from his estate. But however, you could get it back. Reb Shimon omer, yesh lo vein arosilis parnes ein neskakin. Reb Shimon says, no. He doesn't want to take it from his own, so just leave him. Leave him up to his own state. Ain't his cock and low. Ain't low, but ain't a roselis parnes. If he doesn't have, Omrim lo have mashkon v'tol. So you pretend you're being serious with him. Here, you have a mashkon? Yeah, give us the security. Give us the collateral. To make it seem as if that you're going to try to get it back from him. So to raise his das a little bit so that he thinks that you're going to give it back. Interesting, usually tazuach das is a bad thing. Usually it's like a lashon of gaiva in the Gemara. Here it's a good thing. You want him to have a little self-esteem. And therefore you say, oh yeah, I'll take that pillow from you, you know, until you pay me back. So you give him the impression that you're paying back. But as we see, again, and we'll get to it again in a minute, Bez Hashem, there are different levels of giving staka. We started off today's daf with a lishma bite staka, but here it's clear that there are levels of staka of if he doesn't want to take staka. You know, it should be. You know, we live in a time period where, you know, Rahman al-Islam, some people are so used to it, they don't have the busha anymore. They're just that they do it for a living, you know, collecting staka. But inherently, there should be a level of busha that, and we should feel it. And people who could be the nosnim should recognize that and try to make sure that the person doesn't have to have any of that terrible feeling of needing. Right? What do we say in benching? V'loli de manas basar v'adam. That's what we daven for. That we shouldn't have to take matanas. Tana rabbanan. Ha'aveit. So lend, give him a loan, and then don't collect it. That's referring to the other case, where he doesn't want to use his own stuff. So you get it back from him after he dies. No, leave him. Like the day we had before. Sometimes the Torah uses a double lashon just for emphasis, but not to darshan any new halacha from. Okay, we're up to the Mar Ukva story. Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva, havi anya b'shivi vusei. There was a poor man in the neighborhood of Mar Ukva. Davi rogel kol yoma d'shadi le'erba zuzei b'tzinora d'dasha. He used to throw four zuz in the doorway, in like with the door connected to the hinge, right? He'd just throw it in there, meaning so that the ani wouldn't see him. Another level of staka, anonymous, so the ani doesn't know who's giving it. Yom Echad Amar, one day the ani said, Ezel Echzi Man Ka'avid Bihahuti Vusa, I want to go see who's doing this great mitzvah for me. Hahu Yom Anagalil Mar Ukva Lebe Medrusha, and one time Mar Ukva was a little late, so Asya Dibisubade just worked out his wife was going to come with him that day. Right, he wasn't, Mar Ukva was going with his wife, it just worked out, obviously, so we have this story. Once the ani saw that they were approaching the door, so the ani goes out and wants to say, gives hakaras hatov, and he starts running after. Mar Ukva. So Mar Ukva and his wife turn around and start running away. Right, interesting, the poskim say, you see from here, even if somebody is mochel on their busha, you still try not to be mavayish them. People say, oh no, it's okay, you could say it. No, you still shouldn't. They jumped into an oven. That grew fanura. That was ready. It was swept out from its coals, but it was still boiling hot. Havikom Mikhailin carried the Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva's feet were getting burned. Amrle de bisu shkol karech osav akaroi. Quickly, jump on my feet. Right, his wife's feet weren't getting burned. So you picture the scene. Mar Ukva was standing on his wife's feet inside the oven. Chalash taiti. Mar Ukva got depressed. Amra, he says, why are you not getting burned and I'm getting burned? Amrale, she says, Anasha chichna begavi debese, umakava nayasi. I give them food. They don't have to do anything after I give them food. You give them money. So I give them food. So my mitzvah is more practical for them, and that's why it means more, and that's why there's greater schar. Umay kulehai, where do we know this from? That you had to run away not to embarrass the ani? Tamar marzucha bertuv yamarav, yamila amra puna bar bizna, amra shimin chasida, yamila amra biochana mishiv shimma yochai, noach lola adam shim sir asmo tokif shana esh, val yablum penechavir barabim. A person should be ready to throw themselves into a fiery furnace and not to embarrass their friend. Minolan mi tamar, you know that from Tamar, dechsiv hi mutseis, Tamar wouldn't embarrass Yehuda even when she's going out to be burnt. Right? That is the halacha. The Ritva says, even though Tamar was in public and this Mar Ukva was in private, but still, this is what the Mar Ukva did, even in private, he acted lo lechavayesh pechaveo barabim. Right? This is a huge topic. Tosfos in Masechta Sota, that's the one source you gotta know on this. Tosfos in Sota asks, if, you know, one has to give their, jump into a fiery furnace, not to embarrass their friend, so why they're only big three? This is one of the big three. Right? It's to ask Tosfos, unbelievable question. Tosfos, Yudim Abbas. He says, So what's Tosfos going to answer? Oh, it's not really one of the big three. He doesn't say that. Tosfos says, because it's not mefurish. Right? The big three are only by Averis Mefurashos. Meaning, what is Tosfos' answer? In Achinami, it's one of the big three. It's just not on the list for technical reasons. That's Tosfos. Other Rishonim would say it's Kiilu. Right, we don't say it's Kiilu, right? If somebody says, embarrass so-and-so or I'm going to kill you, do we say he has to be killed? According to Tosfos, Pashas, yes. But that would be a tremendous chiddush to say that. Right, about the Shari Tshuva. Also, Shari Tshuva, Rabbi Yonah in Shar Gimel, in Kuf Lamed Tes, discusses this at length. He says, Tsar Halbana Marmi Maves, Lolom Yapel Asbel Tokif Shana Eish, he quotes our Gemara. He quotes, it's Avak Ritzicha. Avak Ritzicha, and therefore we have to be extremely careful regarding these issues. So again, this is something that we have to be... note, but again, Mar Ukva learned it from Tamar. If you look in the Chashuk Yechem, and he discusses even another case where does a teacher have the right to embarrass a student in order to be mechabidin? There was a story. He was asked. There was a teacher that any child who came late for davening, he had to go on a certain side of the room, and the parents got very upset, and they argued. They called up the hanhala. They said, "How can you be doing this?" And the Rebbe says, "What do you mean? I have to be mechazik them, and that this is a way to get them to come on time." So he goes through. It has to be done properly, and educating in our generation is not exactly educating in the times of Chazal. So the Chashuk Yechem just goes back and forth. Are there any exceptions to the rule of Mevayish Bechavir Baravim? But either way, it's something that the Shari Tshuva emphasizes, and the Tosfos, you don't need anything more than that Tosfos and Masechta Sota to emphasize exactly what this is about. Okay, we'll stop here. By the next story of Mar Ukva, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up next time with the continuation of the Sugyas of Tzedakah.